Latin expressions. Before I go into the pronunciation of the different Latin expressions in the book, I'd first like to say a brief word about the way these are pronounced in general. In the United States, we often pronounce these Latin expressions in a certain Americanized kind of way that does not reflect the original pronunciation that would have been used by the ancient Romans. For instance, many legal terms used in courts and in the legal system have taken on a certain pronunciation that is not really authentic, but is very commonly heard. So in a sense, there are two different ways to pronounce many of these Latin expressions. You could pronounce them with the strict rules of pronunciation that you would apply to classical Latin, or you could use the commonly used Americanized pronunciation. So as I go through these different Latin expressions, I will be referring to both of these ways of pronunciation so that you can understand the difference between the two. The first one in the book is cogito ergo sum. If you wanted to apply the rules of Latin pronunciation, you would make the G in cogito a hard G. That means that it would have a G sound. And the O's would have a long O sound. So it would sound something like cogito ergo sum. But if you heard someone say this with an Americanized type of pronunciation, they might say cogito ergo sum, or they might even make the G a soft G and say cogito ergo sum. I personally do not know if there's a certain way that this is pronounced as an Americanized expression, but I think I've given you enough information for that. The next Latin expression in the book is et cetera. Of course, if you wanted to apply the strict rules of Latin pronunciation, the C in cetera would be a hard C, and so you would say et cetera. Of course, that's not the Americanized way we say it. An Americanized way to say this expression would be et cetera, and I've heard this particular one mispronounced a couple of different ways. One I refer to in the book here, I say that sometimes et cetera is mispronounced as ec cetera. I've heard that many times. People say ec cetera. Another way that people mispronounce it is to take the word cetera and reduce it from three syllables down to two, like cetera. So the only advice I can give for this is to pronounce the T in et clearly, and all three syllables in the word cetera. So that would give you et cetera. Next we have IE and EG. These are fairly easy. IE stands for id est, and EG stands for exempli gratia. I can't think of any other way to pronounce either of those besides id est and exempli gratia, so I think those are pretty straightforward. Next, we have AM and PM. Of course, AM stands for anti-meridium, and PM stands for post-meridium. If you wanted to apply all the rules of classical Latin pronunciation, it might sound like ante-meridium and post-meridium, or something like that. But of course, the way we usually would say it in English with an Americanized pronunciation would be anti-meridium and post-meridium. Our next expression is non sequitur. If you wanted to apply all the rules of classical Latin pronunciation, you would make the O in non a long O, and it would say non. And you also might make the E in sequitur something like sequitur. But that's not the way we typically pronounce it. Typically, with an Americanized pronunciation, we would just say non sequitur. And then, down at the bottom of the page, we have ad hominem. I suppose that a more correct Latin pronunciation would be ad hominem, but with an Americanized pronunciation, we just say ad hominem. Next, we have carpe diem, and I think that to say carpe diem is pretty close to what it would be in classical pronunciation, too. So, to me, this one's pretty straightforward. Just say carpe diem. Next, we have Semper Fidelis and Semper Paratus. For a correct Latin pronunciation, you might say Semper Fidelis and Semper Paratus. But a typical Americanized pronunciation might sound like this: Semper Fidelis, Semper Paratus. And the difference there would be the I in Fidelis would have sort of a short I sound. So instead of Fidelis, it might say Fidelis. So you're basically shortening those vowels from long I sounds to short I sounds. But besides that, I would say this is another one that's pretty straightforward. Semper Fidelis, Semper Paratus. And as far as the abbreviated Marine Corps motto goes, the way I've heard it said is Semper Fi. Next, we have the term ad hoc. If you wanted to use a correct Latin pronunciation, you might say ad hoc. And you would give the word odd a long A sound, like odd. And then the O in hoc would have a long O sound. So you might say ad hoc. Of course, the way we would commonly hear it with an Americanized pronunciation would be ad hoc. Again, we see this pattern of shortening the vowels from long vowel sounds to short vowel sounds. Next we have circa. In classical Latin, of course, both of those C's would have had hard C sounds. That is, they would have sounded like k. So the word circa, with a correct Latin pronunciation, would sound like circa. With an ecclesiastical pronunciation, it might sound like circa. But the way this term is commonly heard with an Americanized pronunciation would be something like circa. Next, we have the expressions that go with graduating students. The first one is summa cum laude, and if you wanted to pronounce it with an authentic classical pronunciation, you might say summa cum laude. However, an Americanized pronunciation would render it as summa cum laude. And then you would have magna cum laude as a correct pronunciation, but with an Americanized pronunciation, it might sound like magna cum laude. And then with just cum laude, a correct Latin pronunciation might sound something like cum laude. But the one we commonly hear is cum laude. So the difference between the correct pronunciation and the Americanized pronunciation basically is a difference in vowels. Next we have ex libris. I think that if you wanted to say this term with an Americanized pronunciation, you would probably make the last I in libris a short I sound. So you might say ex libris or something like that. Or you might even make the other I short as well and say ex libris. So I think a correct Latin pronunciation would say ex libris, and an Americanized one would say ex libris. But I could be wrong. Next we have per capita. Of course, that's not the way the ancient Romans would have said it. The ancient Romans might have said per instead of per. And the first A in capita, they might have given that a slightly longer A sound. So the Romans might have said per capita, but the way we commonly hear this said is per capita. Next we have BC and AD. Of course, BC is not Latin, but AD is, and that's Anno Domini. I suppose that a more correct pronunciation would have the long vowels like this, Anno Domini. But the way you might commonly hear this, pronounced with an Americanized pronunciation, might be Anno Domini. So in that case, you would be changing the vowel sound of the A in Anno and the vowel sound of the O in Domini. So instead of Anno, you might hear it said Anno, and instead of Domini, you might hear it said Domini. So again, we see this same thing of shortening the vowels for the Americanized pronunciation that you might hear an English speaker say. Next we have caveat emptor. The first thing that comes to mind when I look at this expression is the V in caveat. Of course, in ancient Rome, they didn't pronounce the V's like we do today. Back then, it had a vowel sound to it. So they might have said caveat instead of caveat. Another thing that comes to mind is the sound of the first A in caveat. You might hear this word pronounced with an Americanized pronunciation like this, caveat. So then the first A in caveat would have an A sound instead of an ah sound. So a correct Latin pronunciation might sound like caveat emptor, but an Americanized pronunciation might sound like caveat emptor or something like that. And the same thing goes for cave canem. In ancient Rome, they would have pronounced the V with a sort of a vowel value, so they might have said cave canem. And I have not heard this expression enough to know of any certain way that it's said with an Americanized pronunciation. So I guess you're sort of on your own for that one. Next we have alumnus and alma mater. The first word, alumnus, is a word we hear fairly often, and the way we usually hear that is with an Americanized pronunciation that pronounces each of those U's with a short U sound that sounds like uh. So that word is going to be pronounced alumnus, that is, if you're using an Americanized pronunciation. The next one we commonly hear pronounced as alma mater or alma mater, and that's fairly close to a correct pronunciation, except for the vowel sounds. If you wanted to pronounce it with a correct pronunciation, you might say alma mater, and the A's in alma might have more of an ah sound. But with an Americanized pronunciation, it might sound more like alma, and the E at the end of the word mater might have more of an sound. So if you heard someone say this with an Americanized type pronunciation, they might say mater instead of mater. So the typical way you're going to hear these words said is like this, alumnus and alma mater. The next one is pretty straightforward. That's NB, which stands for nota bene. I can't really think of any other way to pronounce it other than nota bene. I suppose that an English speaker might shorten the first E in bene and pronounce it like bene. So in that case, the whole thing might sound like nota bene. But besides that one little difference, I think this one's pretty straightforward. Nota bene. Next we have the expressions that you see on a dollar bill. The first one you would commonly hear said by an English speaker as E pluribus unum. And that's not technically correct because the first letter, the letter E there, would be, I believe, a long E, so it would sound like A. And so that expression would sound like A pluribus unum. Next we have anuit coeptis. I believe that it's pronounced this way because the last two syllables in the word anuit are both short, which would put the accent on the first syllable of the word. So that would be anuit. And then in the next word, coeptis, you have two vowels alongside one another. In this case, the vowels O and E. And these two vowels form what is called a diphthong. And a diphthong is basically two vowels that sort of mash together to make one certain vowel sound. So in this case, the O and the E go together and sound like oi. So as far as my knowledge goes, this expression would be pronounced anuit coeptis. In the word coeptis, if one of the vowels, that is the O or the E, if one of them had a long mark or a macron over it, then in that case, they would not form a diphthong. You would pronounce each vowel separately. But I checked the dictionary, and indeed, both of these are short, so I believe it is a diphthong. So this expression indeed would be anuit coeptis. And the last one, I think, is pretty straightforward. That's novus ordo seclorum. I can't really think of any other way that that would be pronounced. I suppose that if someone said it with an Americanized pronunciation, they might change the sound of the V in novus, and they might say novus, but that's really the only difference I could think of. So I think this one's pretty straightforward, novus ordo seclorum. Okay, that's it for the Latin expressions in the book. I hope that this recording has given you what you were looking for, and I hope I didn't give you too much information, but just the right amount. So thank you for listening.